you will please turn your Bibles to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and we are looking at verses 8 through 19 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. I'll give you a moment to get there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hear ye then the word of the Lord. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. Father, we thank you for thy holy word, O Lord, as we continue here in this series, Lord. Here we look, Father, at the example, this godly man, this brother in Christ, Abraham. And Father, we ask, grant us understanding by your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a big portion that we're looking at today, but I didn't want to make it much longer than that. But here in our passage, we are considering the patriarch, okay, the patriarchs of the faith, especially Abraham. After all, we are counted as children of Abraham by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are counted as the true Israel, which is made up of both Jewish and Gentile believers, Jewish and Gentile Christians, because we are part of the one true church. And so we do need to consider here in the hall of faith this great cloud of witnesses, the great man of God named Abraham. Surely he was a man who was looking to the future, looking to see the completion, the fulfillment of the promises of God. He trusted God and he knew that God would keep every promise that he has ever made. God would bring it to completion. Now in this life we live in, we often get sidelined. It's very easy for us to get distracted in the affairs of life, the things that are taking place around us. Bad things happen to us and we get distracted. We take our eyes off of the Lord for that moment. We have painful and difficult things that might cross our path. They'll fall into our very laps and we wonder if God's promise will be fulfilled in our lives as well. Because no matter what God does, God always keeps His Word. Okay, we need to remember that. We need to know it. We need to hear His Word. We need to walk in accordance with His Word, trusting Him no matter what this life may bring into our very path that we take. No matter what is there, trusting in Him. Whatever that path that God may put us on will lead. Trusting Him always. Abraham believed God and he obeyed Him. He looked for the promises of God even when he might not ever see them come to pass in his own lifetime. He still trusted the Lord with all of his heart, and so he died in faith. He died as a man of God. He was declared righteous by God because of his faith, his works testifying that he had been justified. In other words, he had a justifying faith in the Messiah. So, first of all, even though he didn't know where he was going, Abraham obeyed God. We read in verse 8 again, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Now, if you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, there we have the call of Abram before calling him Abraham. God told him, he said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And so he was called by sovereign grace to go to a place that he's unfamiliar with, called to leave it all behind, called to leave his parents, called to leave all of his brothers, his kindred behind them. And he took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions and the people that he acquired in Haran. And they set out for a land that God would direct him to. He didn't really know where he was going. Only that God said, "You're going, it's going to be an inheritance for you. And he's going to go by faith." God promised him, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed because of him, because of the seed of Abraham." He set out for the land of Canaan, leaving everything that he knew behind him. It takes a lot of faith to do that. It takes a lot. Much like the ministry, God will call a person to missions. Okay, I know we have Ellen Barnett coming in May. We have those in the Philippines. They're serving missionaries all over the place. And they oftentimes don't know how they're going to be received. All right, that God will call a person to go to such a place, and it may be a good while before they know exactly where they're going to go. For now, all they know is that God's calling me to missions. I don't know where yet. I don't know where yet. But once they know, they begin to take their first steps toward the land. They begin to take their first steps toward those people, not knowing how they're going to be received, but they obey God. They obey the call of God anyway. And no, and I have to say this, God is not calling people only, I'm saying I qualify that, He is not calling people only to serve at vacation destinations. Alright, we laugh at that. It happens all the time. I hear it all the time. In Presbytery, General Assembly, wherever I might be, I hear people tell me, "Yes, God has called me to Cancun." Oh, I just know that. Just, really? And I always get this all the time. They have a call to Hawaii. They have a call to the Cayman Islands. They have a call to Virginia Beach. They have a call to Savannah. They have a call to Charleston. But where are the missionaries who are being called to Pakistan, to Afghanistan, to China, to Saudi Arabia? Where are those? I know of men who say that God has called them only to serve the upper middle class or upper class society. Really? Paul didn't have that luxury. He called wherever God would send them. I hear it all the time. That is not how Paul and the apostles went out to serve. Abraham had no idea what lay before him. He didn't have any idea what was going to happen there. But he knew, and he went by faith. He trusted the Lord. He knew God. He left not knowing what lay ahead. He was looking to the future. He was looking to God's promise to be fulfilled. An inheritance given by God Himself. It was for him and all the seed. By the way, if you are in Christ, you are a child of Abraham. We are true Israel. It applies to us as well. And so Abraham had faith. He had a real faith, an obedient faith, a genuine faith, and he set out for the land of promise, going to live, as in verse 9, in a foreign land, living in tents. you've been camping, it can be kind of tough if you're out there trying to live in a tent for any length of time. 1 or 2 days is not a trial. You'll try for a few weeks, maybe a couple months. It can be hard. It can be uncomfortable. It can be tiring. And I don't know if Daniel's experienced this yet, but I've talked to some other guys, and they've had to stay in tents in the military over there. And actually had air conditioning units on some of those tents now. I'll tell you that right off the bat. They'll all suffer, but most likely if you go out and stay in a tent, you will be without AC. All right, you begin to understand that it can be uncomfortable, rough when you step into your skivvies with the sandy foot, and you're like, you really don't want to do that. However, it can be rough. It can be tiring. Will you be faithful? Even in the days of discomfort, even in the days that seem much more of a trial than before, will you do so? And will you say instead, Lord, you call me to go, then I go. They pack and I go. Time to go. He said, the Lord has sent. And you go and you head out. And this is what Abraham is doing. Secondly, even though he never saw the city built by God, Abraham looked forward to it in verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So even though he never saw the city built by God, he looked forward to it anyway. He knew that this promised inheritance involved the future. He knew that it was something which lays ahead. It's in the future for him. He knew it was a promise not only for him, but for all of his offspring. Every single one of them. He knew this was the electing grace of God who called Abram out of his whole family to go. Called him to go. All those with the like faith of Abraham, trusting a believing faith, a faith is what? A faith in the coming Messiah. So you might want to read through Romans chapter 9 sometime. Mark that down for later. Read through Romans 9. But he looked forward to the city of God. The city of God that was designed by Almighty God, that was built by God's own hand. And because of the promise, he knew that one day he was going to walk the streets of the city of God. He knew, said, I may not see it now, but God has promised it. He never fails to keep and accomplish his promise. And so I long and I look forward to it for the city whose builder and maker is Almighty God. So in the meantime, does that mean the discomfort of the tents? Yes. Does that mean perhaps the mockery of the locals? Yes. Whatever that might mean, he said, I'm heading for the land of promise. Because God is always faithful. He never fails. He keeps His precious word. So he longed for the city of God. He desired it. His heart was set on it, even though he had to see it from afar. Okay? Looking into the future, seeing it from afar, he knew that he was a stranger and a pilgrim, an exile upon the earth, waiting for the heavenly country. Look at 14 and 15 again. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return in verse 16. But they desire a better country. That is the heavenly one. And so he looked, he longed for an eternal inheritance. Not just land promises, he was looking for the heavenly country. The city of God. That is where his hope is set. His eyes are set on the future, and his eyes are set on the seed of Abraham, on Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is God's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes, and in the eyes of Abraham is marvelous, and the eyes of Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and all who are sons of God by faith in Christ, men and women and children who are trusting in Christ, sons of Abraham, children of God in Christ. And so it was for Abraham. And so it is for the Hebrew Christians of this epistle that has been written to. And so it is for every single Christian today. Those who are trusting, those who know Christ. Thirdly, even though he and Sarah were way beyond the time of bearing children, they trusted God's promise. Look at verse 11. By faith, Sarah. And we don't usually hear that too often. All we do is remember Sarah laughed, right? No, she was a woman of faith. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And so, yes, Sarah, she was a believer. Like Abraham, she believed in Almighty God. She trusted in the Lord as he did, even though she laughed about her coming pregnancy. But remember, before she laughed, Abraham laughed. Alright, so let's not get too hard on Sarah. Abraham laughed first when God told him. Alright? So what was the big deal about it? Well, it's a very big deal for the children who may not know. Abraham was 99 years old. Okay? And he'd be 100 years old when Isaac would be born. Sarah was 90 when she would conceive. So imagine that. If you've been past the age of childbearing, you'd be 90 years of age and like, man, I'm starting a family at 90 and he's going to be 100. I wonder how long we're going to last. However, they had faith. So Sarah was a believer. Both, well, they were well beyond the physical limitations of having children. Okay, she was well beyond that, so was he. And she had been barren for 90 years, but at the revelation of God concerning the promise of a son, at the revelation of God, she did believe. And soon, she began to show. Okay, imagine the looks on the faces of those around her, the family and friends that may be there, and she began to show, and it's a demonstration of the promise and the power of God who can speak life in the darkness. Even in the darkness of the barren womb, God can speak life, and it will come to pass. And they trusted God. They believed the promise, and they saw them come to pass, these and their own lifetime. And yet this promised seed of Abraham was only one in the line of those to be born until the true promised seed of Abraham would come and sit upon the eternal throne. The Lord Jesus Christ, the promised seed of Abraham. The promise of the land to Abraham pointed to the heavenly land of rest for the people of God. The promise of a son pointed to the Son of God who had become man, born as the seed of Abraham, through whom all of the nations will be blessed. And so God had promised Abraham, through your seed, the nations are going to be blessed. How? Christ. Okay, it's going to come through that line all the way through the millennia and the generations that pass until Christ comes. And then we see the blessing for the nations. The promised seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. For these Hebrew Christians in our epistle, remember they're going through trials, they're going through temptations, they're being tempted to go back to Judaism, to turn away from that which has been laid down before them. The very gospel of Jesus Christ. They are being tempted to abandon the inheritance of the sons of light. They must press on. And so the writer is encouraging them. They must trust in the promise of God in Christ. They must continue on. Do you desire the new heavens and the new earth? Abraham did. He desired that. He desired those things. And it's yours in Christ. Yours in Christ alone. You desire the holy city as Abraham did. It's only as those. It's yours, but it's yours in Christ alone. True faith, trust in the promises of God and the promises of Holy Scripture. True faith acknowledges God's promise in His Word. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city.
The city of God. St. Augustine wrote about the city of God and the city of man. And we long for the city of God, whose builder and designer is Almighty God. And remember Christ Himself being the light of it. And finally, even though he had never seen anyone raised from the dead, Abraham had never seen anyone brought back to life, Abraham believed that God could still keep His promise in verse 17 and 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So Abraham received and believed the promise of God. If God commands to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice in His mind, then what about my offspring? What about the seed? What about the line? What about this promised seed of Abraham? If Isaac's dead, I'm in trouble, and the promise of God will be of no avail. So he said then, God must plan to resurrect him somehow to do this. So God commands to offer up Isaac, then he must do so. But the question would be, what about the promise of the blessing to the nations through his offspring? Then God, whose word never fails, must intend somehow to raise him up from death. And of course, God stopped Abraham from killing his own son, showing us the faith of Abraham, a demonstration for us of a true, justifying faith here in the life of Abraham, here in the very moment of offering up his son, when God says, "No, stop your hand, stay it." He's seeing and demonstrating his faith that we would see, and proving his faith. God stopped him from killing his son, showing us the faith of Abraham, showing us what a person who is justified by faith really looks like. These Hebrew Christians now of our epistle, they are reminded then that God spared not his own son, even though he spared Isaac. God spared Isaac, Abraham's only son. He spared him. But of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he would not spare, because he must give us life through faith in him. And so he needed Christ to do so. These Hebrew Christians are reminded of that. God spared not his only son. And so God did raise up Christ from the dead. He did raise him up, and then raised him up seated in glory at the right hand of God. But they need to know, we need to know, that God still keeps his promises. He still keeps his word. If he says it, it shall be done. It shall be accomplished. Will the promise be yours, though? By faith, it is yours. By faith in Christ, it will be yours. Will you receive the inheritance? Because you must, but it's by faith in the seed of Abraham, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer, the only Messiah, the God-man, who is Savior and King and Lord, seated at the Father's own right hand. And I close with these words here from verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." And so we wait for Jesus right now. We wait for Him. We live as pilgrims in a strange land. Exiles of America, if you will. Exiles of the earth. Because we are pilgrims. We seek a heavenly kingdom. A holy city. And we look. We're obeying. Looking. Trusting. Even in our stay in the land of exile. Obeying. Looking. Trusting And we will receive the promised inheritance, because the inheritance belongs to all of those who are trusting in Christ, but only those who know Jesus Christ, a real, genuine faith, a life-changing faith, something that will completely transform your life from who you were to what you are now by faith in Christ. Changed lives. Abraham was changed, and he receives the inheritance. And it belongs to all of those who trust in Christ too. The son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God. Are you, by faith, insert your name. By faith, are you trusting, looking, and obeying, trusting, and looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking for that heavenly city, that heavenly country? Yes, we live and we dwell upon the earth even now, but we're pilgrims and strangers. We're passing through until Christ comes and we see it all come to pass. Are you spiritually ready now? Because you need to be, and you can be, but you must repent and trust in Christ now. He's the only Savior. He is the promised seed. He is the fulfillment of the promises of God there in the person of Jesus Christ. And those who have faith in Him have life, forgiveness, okay, changing of life. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Thy Word. We thank You, Lord, for the example of Abraham and the faith that he had with Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. And Lord, we know that even these godly examples, Lord, that we look at the one that they had faith in, which is Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray that You might move among us by Your Holy Spirit. Quicken our hearts. Open our minds, O Lord, to hear, to receive Your Word, to receive Christ in faith, even now, even today, Lord. But go with us to our homes, Lord. And as Lord, as so many have said in the great past, Lord, that we will not rest until we rest in Thee. Father, that we might long day by day for that holy city, that heavenly land, of which Christ is the light. O Lord, let us walk in the light. Father, we ask and we thank You in Jesus' holy name. Amen.